Welcome back to Epilogues and Unpacking of the Weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trump. Today we are going to be looking at Parshas Shmos, the Haftarah of the first Parsha in Sefer Shmos. This Haftarah takes us to chapter Chav Zayin, Perek Chav Zayin and Chav Ches of Yeshayahu, Chav Zayin Vav to Chav Ches Yud Gimel, with an additional two Pesukim at the end, Chav Bez Chav Gimel in Perek Chav Tes. It should be noted that in the Sephardic tradition, the Haftarah this week in Parsha Shmos is the Haftarah, the first Perek of Yirmiyahu. Going with the Ashkenazic tradition, this is a very fascinating and esoteric Haftarah. It is really an address to the kingdom of Ephraim, the northern kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom of Israel, and their impending doom, their impending destruction, modeled after some of the imagery that we see related to the Jews coming, the Hebrews going down to Egypt in Goddess. Obviously, Egypt represents the first exile experience of the nation of Israel. This is now being used to extrapolate that about the impending exile, which is about to happen at the hands of the Assyrians and later the Babylonians to the northern and southern kingdom, respectively. So the beginning really starts off with this very important image in the first few psukim. It runs from Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Vav, to Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. In this section, the image that is described is Aboim Yashresh Yaakov Yatzitzu Parach Yisrael. There's these roots of Jacob, of Yaakov, which are going to lead and to growth into this beautiful tree of Israel. And in this section, he talks about how, although it is true that Hashem inflicted suffering upon the nation of Israel, but it was in relationship to the actions, the consequences of their actions that they did. So therefore, it is not exorbitant. It is in fact directly as related to the actions they caused themselves. And how will those sins be atoned for? How could it be that the tree can grow again? Simple, says Yeshayahu. So you need to destroy the stones of the altars to these foreign pagan entities, and destroy the Eshtar, these trees of idol worship, because in that case, then the tree, the city itself, the alone city, Ki'ir Betzura Badad, the alone city will be able to succeed again. Then it will be able to be able to thrive. However, bivosh kitzira tishovarna, but when it's going to dry up, when there's not enough to feed it, then the noshim ba'os mi'irois osa, then even the ladies can come out and light it, and the tree will fall, it will be burnt down. Kiloi am binoisu alkein lo yirachamu oseu v'yitzroi yolichunenu, that in the end of the day, if we don't act in a way with prudence, with perspective, with knowledge, then we will ultimately suffer the consequences of that. So just appreciate what's going on over here. The image over here is of the children of Israel compared to a tree, and at the very root of it is the roots, the Yashresh Yaakov, which is Jacob, Yaakov in exile. And when not in exile, then is Parach Yisrael, will sprout forth not just as a root, but to the whole all of Israel. But to what degree will we become Israel? When we will be allowed to be this flowering tree which is succeeding? When we destroy Avodah Zarah, when we no longer adopt the cultures of the nations around us, then we will be successful in succeeding and spreading forth as well. It's a very beautiful image. Notice that this is the image which is used to describe how Israel came down to, the Hebrews came down to Egypt. These are the names of Israel who came to Egypt. That's the first word of the Torah, is Haboim, those who come into the land of their enemies. They will be Jacob, they will be the diminutive, this nation which is in exile waiting to flourish as well. And ultimately, if we remove the foreign cultures from among us, then we will be able to sprout forth. When we remain separate, then we are able to succeed and exit this. But if we sin, then those become the merits of the enemy, which cut us down as well. Notice a few interesting references in this section. There is Ir Badad, the city alone. Obviously, is a reference later on, which Yirmiyahu is going to use when he describes Eicha Yashua Badad, referring to the city of Jerusalem. And in fact, the Abamanel talks about the innuendo, the allusion to the destruction of Rome, ultimately, which is going to be described, Abamanel living through much of that himself as well. Interesting, just an aside in this section, is Bivosh Ktsira, when it talks about the drying out of the produce. The Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Yud Amud Aleph talks about the very fascinating topic which is learned from the Pesukim in this section, which is not taking a tzedakah from the pagan nations around us, not accepting or giving them the zechus, the merit, by accepting charity from those nations is part of what's talked about over here, is being completely insular is the way to succeed. We now move into the next section, which now talks about getting out of this exile. We have a very, very famous psukim over here where Yeshayahu describes that on that day, there'll come a day which is the times of the redemption. Hashem will beat down from the river, the Euphrates, to the Egyptian river, ostensibly the Nile, and you will be pulled out. And you'll be able to be pulled back to the land of Israel. And on that day, a great horn will sound, and those who are already exiled in Assyria will come, and those who are pushed aside to the land of Egypt, and you'll be brought back to prostrate yourself in Jerusalem. This is already referring to the proto-exile, which is already occurring at the time of Yeshayahu. The East Bank, the northern tribes are already being exiled. The northern kingdom is about to experience its full exile, and there's going to be a siege on the southern kingdom. So all of that is going to happen. And Yeshayahu is saying, if you want to get out of that, there's going to come a day where you'll be able to be pulled back as well. Notice this is a process of beating. The Mitzvot points out that this is a threshing process. The way threshing is done is you put this the seed, which has got its chaff on it, and you put it on the ground, all the seeds, and then you take a board. The way it would work in the old days is that a person would stand on the board, putting weight on the board, and have a donkey pull that board with them along over and over the seeds again. And by crushing them, it separates the chaff and the seeds, which would now be ready for the winnowing process to separate the two of them. That means that it's a painful process of separation as well, which is going to be necessary. And if you think about it, we've noticed that actually in the last 75 years, we've seen the Nidachim, the Jews from the lands of Islam, slowly but surely be emptied out, and not pleasantly, one after the next, where the countries of Islam kicked out Jews, calling them traitors, aligning them with Israel, and one after another, from the river of Egypt all the way to Assyria and the Euphrates, Jews have no longer found a safe place to reside as well. We now move into the next section, which is Chav Ches Aleph to Dalet. In this section, we hear about the pampered kingdom of Ephraim, and there's pretty relentless criticism on them. They're called the Shikore Ephraim, the drunkards of Ephraim, of the northern kingdom, who just spend all their time just wasting their time and completely involved in the material needs as well. And they'll be trampled underfoot. But they're going to ultimately be trampled to death because they are the tzitzas novel. They are the blossom which is going to wither because they were not ready, they were not correct. And this affects even the southern kingdom, Yeshayahu tells us in Pasuk Hey Tovov, whereby Hashem will create salvation for the nation when the northern kingdom will be exiled, the southern kingdom will remain as a refugee. But it is important for them to notice that they're going to see those who are exiled, the refugees from their war, they're going to have to take note. But, says Yeshayahu, in Zion at Tuches, those people aren't, even in the south, aren't noticing. Gam eile b'yayin shagu v'sheikha to'u. Koyim v'navi shagu b'sheikha nivlu b'inyan. They're also drunk. They're also involved in material pursuits down in the south as well. And therefore, it's going to be a problem there as well. Ki kol shulchan osmalu ki tsoya b'li mokom. All their tables are filled with vomit and excrement that doesn't belong there. What does that mean? What's this image referring to? Very disgusting image. The Rambam says that this refers to people who have festival tables with all kinds of delicacies, but they don't invite those in need to those tables. They have their friends and all the people from their clubs and their societies, but they don't think about those who are right in front of them, those who are in need. It's a society of the uber rich living their life without even thinking about those who are around them. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that this refers to a table which is absent of Divrei Torah. What does that mean to say is that what people really care about is the fact that they have the best caterers and the best this and the best menus and things like that, but there's no Torah. It's not a spiritual experience at all. This wasn't to elevate the experience. It was simply just a pursuit about being up with the Joneses. That's what's being described in the southern kingdom, even as the northern kingdom is being destroyed. And that's why in the last section of the Satorah, in Chof Ches Per Pasuk Tes to Yud Gimel, in this section, he talks about the woefully, as mi yoreda adeya, who will educate? Who's going to teach? Who's going to be the role models in this society? Kitzavlatzav, Kavlakav, Zereshav, Zereshav. People are going to be played just by the books. They're going to do minimalistically everything they need to do just to say that they were Yotze, that they discharged the obligation. But Belage Sof Loshon Acheres Adaber, they really speak a different language. They don't really understand Hebrew. They don't understand what it means to be a Jew. El Omazeh, to this nation. And therefore he says that the prophets will be telling them things which are good for their own good, but there'll be no response. Or people just keep sticking to tzav latzav, kav lakav, just doing exactly what they are told to by what they think the book is or how they reinterpret the book as well. This is a very, very sad description. And what Yeshayahu is trying to bang into the heads of these people is look what's happening. Exile's happening because you've embraced the society of Assyria. And yet you carry on doing it. Even the southern kingdom carries on doing it. That's what he's woefully calling out to. And finally, the last two psukim of the Torah is a silver lining. Where we move to Perek Chav Tes, the 29th chapter, Pasuk Chav Beis and Chav Gimel. In this section, Hashem says, you know what? That there is going to come a time where Hashem is going to redeem Jacob and Abraham, and you're not going to dry out. What? Biroisa, Iki Biroisa, Yolodov Maaseh Yodai, Bikirbo Yakdishu Shmi. When will that happen? When I see my children, who are the creation of my hands, when they sanctify my name, when they do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yodei Toyei Ruach Bina V'roignim, Yilmudu Lekach, and then therefore those Philistines, those people who don't know anything, will learn what it really means to be a Jew. What is this referring to? What Kiddush Hashem are referring to? So the Mefarshim go to town trying to figure out what this specific episode was. Rashi tells us that's the sacrifice of Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, who were taken as children into the Babylonian kingdom, educated as Babylonians to be advisors to the king, and ultimately when they refused to bow down to his idol, were thrown into the furnace and created a huge Kiddush Hashem. Radak says it refers to the time of Chizkiyahu, more close to the time of Yeshayahu Navi, where it talks about the military and spiritual success as well. And it's interesting to note, just as an aside, that the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, tells us that the pattern that Ara Midah in Brachas Gimel and the third and fourth Brachas on Ara Shmoneh Esrei follow this pattern, that first there's Kiddush Hashem, and then there is Bina. First you need a Kiddush Hashem, which is the third Barach of the Shmoneh Esrei, HaKel HaKadosh, and then we ask for Bina. In order to be able to get knowledge, in order to be able to succeed in life, we need to first create Kiddush Hashem, then we open the gates of knowledge. This is Haftorah, which is using the primordial exile of Egypt and turning to the future and the present, as Yeshayahu does, and saying, why can't we just learn those lessons? Why can't we allow our tree to sprout forth? Why can't we just take note of the fact that when we're separate and when we create Kiddush Hashem, that's the way out. And when we embrace and when we subsume ourselves in the culture around us, that's when we fail. That's what Yeshayahu was talking to the people then, and he still is talking to the people today. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.